Siri, what's happening at Perfection Auto Works this week?
You have 7 new clients, 2 oil changes, a major service, and 3 drivability problems, and an engine rebuild. And I have a question for you. My BMW is running rough. Can you fix it?
You have a BMW?
Not really, but even a disembodied computer voice can fantasize about a car that runs right.
You don't have to fantasize about your car running right. Just take it to Perfection Auto Works. We specialize in all cars, foreign and domestic, from belts, hoses, brakes, tires, air conditioning diagnosis, the whole enchilada. 323-8650. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
The FBI hacks the DarkSide crypto wallet. Trojan Shield takes down hundreds of criminals. Elon Musk hiring test drivers for Tesla and recognizing Benjamin Franklin's experiment with a kite and a key. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson and the podcast world. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for scam awareness, blockchain science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 48. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments, questions, and even complaints if you have them. Co-hosting today, we have Mike from the cast of the Unscrewed Theater. Thanks for being with us, Mike.
Thanks for having me back.
The Computer Doctor Show is sponsored by Perfection Auto Works for all your car's need for over 30 years of serving the Tucson area down there, Perfection Auto Works. We have a great show for you today, starting with some tech news that broke this week. The FBI hacks the DarkSide. Sounds like Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars, right?
DarkSide crypto wallet by following the money.
Which isn't crypto not money?
Crypto, people treat it like money, therefore it has value.
Okay.
Just like money.
Just like money.
So if you've been under a rock these past couple of weeks, so the DarkSide is actually a underground gang. They're a cyber criminal gang, and they have claimed responsibility of a lot of these ransomware attacks that are happening here in the United States and in other countries. But here's where it gets a little bit strange. The reason why people are attracted to Bitcoin, the cryptocurrencies, is because of their supposed security, how secure they are and how anonymous. They are.
Right.
So the I'm going to say this probably several times in this episode of tipping my hat off to the FBI here, because they actually found a way, and the way was is they were able to follow the money back to the wallet that was used. So in order to use cryptocurrency, you have to have some sort of user account with some sort of a crypto wallet service.
Something has to be out there to collect the coins so you can then spend them.
Exactly. But here's the thing. There's no way to connect a person to the wallet. They can get as far as the wallet, but they, as far as I know, there's no way to connect someone saying, okay, that was Mike's account.
Got it.
Let's go get Mike.
So there is some anonymity in there.
Right, but the anonymity that protection now that we now know,
right,
that anonymous identifier stops at the wallet.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So now, obviously, this may this is obviously not the end of this. Obviously, criminals are going to find some way around of protecting their wallet better. Mm-hmm. Okay. More than likely, the FBI already had spies and people already far inside of their activity already to get that far.
Sure.
And once they had access to this wallet, they were able to run the transaction, probably zeroed it out. It's kind of, we kind of feel good about that, because anybody who's ever had their identity stolen and all their money bottomed out of their account, this story actually makes some people feel good that there's some sort of recourse now that has just happened, that a criminal's account has just been zeroed out.
The good guys won on this one.
It seems. So they did do a little bit of a turning of the tables there. And they were able to, again, hack the wallet, something that will be hundreds of times harder for the criminals to turn around and try to get back.
Right.
They have their work cut out for them. It's a huge setback for them, but they're probably going to come back with something
even
better
stronger
and badder.
Yeah,
but it's a push and shove game.
That's the game, right? The one up sort of thing.
It is.
And this came from the pipeline, right?
This is from the Colonial Pipeline. So the Colonial Pipeline, they paid the $4.4 million. So just, some places say $5 million. Some places say $4.4. I believe it's $4.4 million. Mm-hmm. But they were able to recover some $2 million or $2.2 million, in the neighborhood of half of it back. Now, the dark side is still in power. They have collected some $90 million since October.
Wow, in ransomware.
And ransomware.
Ransom attacks.
Attacks in general. So right. I think they do other things other than just ransomware, but ransomware seems to be the big payoff for them.
Sure.
So they got $4.4 million from Colonial Pipeline, and the JBS attack on our meat supply.
Right.
$11 million.
Holy smokes.
$11 million they were able to get from that. So they seem to be hitting us where I don't know how I would feel without gas or meat. I don't know which one I could go too much longer with. You're going to cut off my gas supply, cut off my meat supply. I mean, you're killing me.
You're talking two American things gone down the drain right now.
Yeah, Americans are big with their consumption of gas and their consumption of meat.
Yep.
Absolutely. So I read in another blog section that even though and we're going to get into this a little bit later, even though the ransomware was paid by the Colonial Pipeline, the decryption that they sent back to restore their locked files didn't work fast enough, and it didn't quite clean up the computers the way they were. So they ended up using an older backup anyway. So that whole mess, had they not paid, they still could have backed up already. They could have used an earlier backup. But of course, if you're using something that's an earlier backup, you kind of have to do everything. Okay, you have to think, okay, what did we change last year? What did we do? And then you have to update. But it's better doing that than having to start all over.
Yeah, from scratch, right?
Or if your pumps are down and you're not able to operate and the population is not able to get their gas, I mean, you got to do something. So
you got to do something. So
there you go.
The ransomware.
Coincidentally, around the same time, there is there was a global sting made by the FBI and the Australian government, and this is something that dates back to 2018. They had put this program together. It's called the Trojan Shield. Operation
Shield.
Trojan Shield is what it was called. And if you've been watching the news, a big trap that they put and a whole bunch of criminals fell for this.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. And some 800 people were arrested. 17 foreign nationals were charged. 32 tons of illegal drugs were seized. Oof. 250 guns, 55 luxury cars, and $48 million in cash and cryptocurrency were recovered from this bust. Now, how did they do it? So, what they did was they created their own messaging app. Okay. The FBI had their own messaging app. People believed it. They thought it, you know, it wasn't anything mainstream. It wasn't a Facebook. It wasn't a Twitter. It wasn't a TikTok or any of that. It was just some off-brand branded messaging app that said that it was secure, said that it was encrypted. But meanwhile, all these criminals have been plotting all of their criminal activity. I think it even stopped maybe 10 murder attempts.
Oh wow!
In the UK, you know, so they were able to stop all these things because they were the hub of their communication.
Everything was actually being monitored and seen by the FBI
on that platform, on that app that they developed. Right. So this is another huge setback. So now if someone is trying to do anything of a criminal nature, now they have to think about, okay, what is the communication that we're going to be using? Okay, yeah. Are we going to be using this program? Well, let's find out who made that now, mm-hmm. and let's see what his background is. Is there any connections to law enforcement or FBI or any type of, you know? So people have to start doing their homework, you know, all of a sudden. So, and there's even this possibility that that these spy, I'm going to call them spy platforms, or platforms that were made to look like they're secure messaging and private encryption, but in actuality they're being monitored. I'll call those just, you know, spy apps.
Sure.
So in order for future criminals to determine if a messaging service is actually a spy app or not, they're going to have to do a huge amount of homework.
Legwork
in order to figure out if it is or if it isn't.
Right.
Now, when I was kind of reading through this information, it kind of reminded me of of something that the cartels did. So the drug cartels, you know, Mexico, they still might be doing this in some other fashion, but they actually had to create their own network and their own structure.
Okay.
They had to put their own towers, their own devices.
Their own devices.
PTT. They reprogrammed a whole bunch of Motorola and Nextel push-to-talk communicators.
Right.
And when you push those, they would only ping their towers. And they secretly put up all these towers and all these. They would climb up on already existing towers and put one of their gizmos up there. They go to the top of buildings, put one of theirs up there, and these were all talking to each other
without anybody knowing,
and it was running on their own encryption. Okay.
which they developed.
So they owned all the hardware, they owned
all
everything,
the
so there's no, you know, there's no going around. But you would have to have all of, you know, obviously this is a very, very terrible thing. They would kidnap engineers and software people and force them to make these things. So it's extremely difficult to kind of master over this and try to find other ways. But again, hats off to the FBI.
Hats off. That's they're killing it.
They killed it definitely this time. Yeah. So, you know, that's a little bit of a relief there. One more quick little thing. Elon Musk wants to hire some test drivers. Now, the way he rolls is he's not even calling them drivers. They're pilots. You're not a driver. You're a passenger in these vehicles. More than likely, he wants to see some human interaction between the software and how people communicate with the car and how the car behaves in certain traffic situations. So obviously, if you're interested in working for Elon Musk and being a Tesla test pilot, test driver, you can always go to tesla.com, I think, and that's you can be part of the future.
There we go. So they're actually they're piloting or testing the autonomous systems.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And they're using all kinds of technology. We might do a whole segment on on LIDAR and how radar and how that technology is sometimes even in your phone to see distance and to see when you're taking a picture, it knows that your nose is closer to the phone than maybe your ear. So it has that technology in there to know that distance. So it's pretty interesting stuff. But we're going to go ahead and take a break. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, some tech anniversaries and everything ransomware. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Come on, man. Alexa, fix my car.
I don't do cars. Take it to Perfection Auto Works.
All right, give me Siri.
Why didn't you listen to Alexa? Perfection Auto Work has been wrenching cars, not wallets, since 1994. Go look at their shop. There are cars lined up around the block. What do their owners know that you don't? I am taking you right now to PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Yeah, what Siri said. This is Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works. We do brakes, oil, tires, alignment, general maintenance, major services, and vehicle restorations, all cars, foreign and domestic. Call Perfection Auto Works today, 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or PerfectionAutoWorks.com. The world's best auto repair shop.
Mike, don't let being best give you a swell head.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson. Because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, blockchain science, and cutting technology talk. FEMA and the FCC plan a nationwide emergency alert test for August 11th, coming up in a few months. So this is a test message, not a text message, but a test message that will be sent to TVs, radios, along with select cell phones that have opted in to receive these test messages. And these are, when the FCC does these types of tests, they're actually very, very helpful because we have a way of receiving an emergency information. So if it is in your abilities to make sure you have opted in to receive these emergency alerts, this is one that's actually a good idea. I didn't have anything in there, but this is one of those things that you do want to opt into. I've been getting a lot of rumors about this Amazon opt-in thing that from the Amazon Echo, the speaker, how Amazon wants to create another network between you and your neighbors.
Oh,
and people don't like sharing information.
No.
Even if it's encrypted, even if it's all safe, they said, nope, I don't want anything going over there in any way, type of fashion. So
I agree with that.
It's blown up and now it's all out of proportion. So now they got to figure out something else to do.
Is this different than the emergency broadcasting system?
Very different.
Very different.
So the emergency broadcast that runs on the airwaves and internet, and apparently there is a even in smart TVs and obviously this radio station, other stations around the world, you know how they have that beep.
Yeah, that's what I'm used to.
Yes.
Emergency broadcasting.
Yeah, so that's emergency broadcast. So they're doing a test across, this is a nationwide test.
Right.
So they have the ability to do local tests like here. But
like
this is going to be like a national test awareness. Well, National test, August 11th.
Okay.
So just expect that. Here are some... actually, before we get into our next segment, sure. Mike, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Well, Unscrewed Theater, we are located at 4500 East Speedway, Suite 39. And you can't miss our sign. It's right there on Speedway between Columbus and Swan.
It looks like it's upside down.
Actually. It does, yeah. The theater is upside down. We turn theater on its head.
Okay.
We are still closed to the public. We are looking to start live stream shows in July from our physical space, but okay, without physical people present. And our current plan is to slowly open up between July, August, and September to full capacity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing your skits 6 feet apart? Or
actually, one of the things, I'm glad you asked, because one of the things we are being very pedantic about is having any performer has to be fully vaccinated.
Okay.
So they are safe to be in that physical space.
All right. We want to be safe, but still have fun.
Exactly.
Here are some tech and science anniversaries. June 10th, 1752. 269 years ago, on June 10th, 1752, this is when that famous kite flying by Benjamin Franklin happened. He flew a kite made of silk, and with a wet string. It was actually a hemp type of string.
Okay.
And he flew this kite during the middle of a thunderstorm, electrical storm, and a lot of people think that the kite was struck by lightning. It was not.
It was not.
He just he flew the kite in the atmosphere of the electrical storm. Thank goodness he didn't get electrocuted, you know. But and by the way, we're not advocating anybody go out and do this experiment. This is very, very dangerous. Okay, but he was trying to make the association between electrical lightning and static electricity, which is something that was already being kind of played around with already at that time.
Right.
So he made that association, and that key was negatively charged when it came down. And when he went out to touch it, he got shocked.
Right.
So he took that negatively charged key, he put it in a special jar called a Leyden jar. And a Leyden jar is a special type of jar that has this, it's glass, and then it has foil on the outside, and then has foil on the inside.
Okay.
And there's a electrical lead that comes out that connects the foil from the inside and the foil from the outside.
He
put the key inside of the glass, and there the key was able to maintain its charge.
For how long, do you know?
I did not get that, but there are thousands of articles about this event,
right?
So I'm sure there's something out there. But not only did he find the association, he was able to maintain that charge in the key, and this Leyden jar was kind of like the blueprints for the first capacitor or the first battery.
Okay. Very interesting.
So,
very cool.
It's amazing that a mind like that existed 269 years ago.
Yeah.
This portion with the time that we have left, everything that you need to know about ransomware. We were answering some questions. What is ransomware? How did ransomware shut down the Colonial Pipeline? And this time, we're going to be answering the question, should you ever pay the ransom? And some people say no, some people say yes. So there are, there's two sides. So I'll take the two that have been affected in the most current events. So we have the JBS attack that attacks the meat. That was the meat supply.
That's right.
And then Colonial Pipeline was
the
gas lines. So both of these organizations did actually pay, and one of them got some of the money back. Now, they have decided on their own that it would be less of a problem to actually pay the ransom and get the files back than to actually turn around and find some other way to decrypt the files. Now, if you try to decrypt the files, you could do it wrong and cause more problems later, and then you just made a hard problem even worse.
Right.
And now you have to have like double encryption to encrypt it back to the way it was and then and then apply the original decryption. Obviously, if you don't have the money, don't pay. But you don't want to encourage this type of activity.
That's what
and that was one of the biggest things that why it made headlines so much. So in some cases, if it's a critical operation, sometimes paying is the easiest way to do that.
And then figure out a way for it to stop, not happen again.
Right. So, and as far as these criminals go, they're extremely difficult to find. They have an array of VPNs. They have all kinds of things that they hide behind. So these things, it's I'd be amazed if the FBI was able. I know they're all over JBS right now. They have to be. They're all up in that. Okay. So hopefully we'll have some good news. That kind of wraps it up for today. I want to thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, and our co-host today, Mike. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Thank you so much for being here. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday, 2 p.m. We'll see you next week.